Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And it's just His mercy, it's just His favor, and it's just His grace that we are alive and we are in His presence. And, you know, we've been in the school of the Spirit. We've been learning how to hear from God, how to talk to God, how to discern spirits, you know, and how to look at dreams and visions. And today I wanted to share just the fourth part of that encounter of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, which is really about seeing or speaking with God face to face. And if we just go to Numbers chapter 12, and that's where we have been this past few times we've been speaking. And I'll read from verse 4. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the tabernacle of meeting was a place or was a tent which God had placed outside the camp. Remember, when the Israelites are in the wilderness and they will pitch their tents, but then just in front of them and outside it, that is where the glory of God will come and descend in form of a cloud. And then Moses will, you know, will speak to God, and God will speak to him face to face, and we'll be able to see how that used to happen. Now, come out to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark speeches or dark sayings. And he sees the form of God. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, when we see, we've been seeing the levels that God speaks to people, and he says that Moses is not at the level of just a normal prophet. And he says, look here, when I send a prophet among you, or if there's a prophet among you, I make myself known to him in a vision or in dreams, you know, but not with my servant Moses. Now, when we start to look at what are these qualifications that God made or God gave Moses, or that God looked at Moses, that he had brought him to the place where he could speak with him face to face. Actually, prior verse 3 says Moses was very humble, more than all the men of the earth, on the face of the earth. So first of all, we can see his humility. But then number 2, also we see that God describes him as his servant. And he says, so he does not even say a prophet, he says my servant. And how does God qualify him to be his servant? He says he is faithful in all my house. Now, if you go to Hebrews, Hebrews will tell you that God considered Moses faithful as a servant, whereas Christ or Jesus was faithful as a son. So now those are slightly different things, being faithful as a servant and being faithful as a son. But then that shows the superiority of the new covenant. And remember, we keep having this theme that we are in a greater covenant. We are in a more superior covenant. But also, we have to learn from these men who are in the old covenant, who walked in intimacy with God, that even we ourselves in the new covenant have not yet reached that level of intimacy. For their time, they walked in intimacy. When the Bible says Enoch, and Enoch walked with God until he was no more. You know, for 300 years, you know, it was until 65 when he begot his son. But then after that, the Bible says for 300 years, Enoch walked with God until he was no more, because the Lord took him. And the Bible tells us that it was by faith. By faith, Enoch with God, walked with God. Now, God describes that I speak with him face to face. And King James puts it that and he are not in, I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord he shall behold. He sees the form of God. Now, a second aspect that, you know, that's the first aspect. Now, if we go to Exodus 33, and this is the place where we'll start to see how God will speak with Moses, and I think it'll be good if we can go there, because we'll see a number of verses in Exodus 33 and 34. Now, in Exodus 33, we'll start from verse 7. The Bible says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. Remember, we're talking about this tent where God will speak to him face to face. Now, if you can see that as a principle, if you desire God to speak to you face to face, you will have to set aside a place, you have to set aside a time, you have to set aside an appointment where you say that, God, this is my appointment with you, this is where I raise my altar, and this is where we are going to be meeting. Yes, God is with us, God is in us, God never leaves us, but you see, when you pitch a tent, when you make a tabernacle of meeting, you declare that, God, this is my special time with you. And remember, the fire on the altar was not supposed to go out. And he says he pitched a tent and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. We're in verse 7. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, and which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in the tent, in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he will return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Now, think of how God describes Moses. He says that he spoke with him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, we are seeing that for you, some of the things that made God speak to Moses face to face was that Moses was his friend. The Bible says he speaks to him as a man speaks to his friend. And this is something that we are saying, that God described Moses as a friend of God. You can see that when you get to the place where God can speak to you face to face, that means you have become his friend. Now he says, as a man speaks to his friend face to face. Now think of this picture. Think of the difference between the Israelites and how Moses. Now Moses will come to the tent and everyone will stand outside their tent, and all of them are watching Moses. You can imagine they're watching Moses. Then when Moses goes to the tabernacle, then the cloud comes, the pillar of cloud. Remember, when they used to move in the wilderness, there was the pillar of fire at night, the pillar of fire or the cloud of fire, and then there was the pillar of cloud that will cover them. But now this pillar of cloud will come and stand at the door of the tabernacle, and you see, the people will see the pillar of cloud, but then it is only Moses that enters into the tabernacle. Now, the difference is the whole of the Israelites were only seeing God through Moses. They will only experience God through Moses, through what God speaks to Moses. But yet this was not the desire of God. The desire of God is that all of us should be able to see his face. all of us should be able to behold his glory. That's why in the new covenant it says that we all with open faces behold the glory of God. That means the ministry that is in the new covenant is not just like how it was for Moses. For Moses, it was only Moses that will enter into the tabernacle of meeting, enter into the presence of God. But you see, the other people will only worship from a distance. And this is the challenge we have today. Still, people are in this pattern where it is only the high priest, it is only the pastors, it is only the leaders who are the ones who are accessing God. But yet people are watching from afar and they want the leader to come and tell them what God has said. Yet in our time, each of us have the ability, have the right, the veil is removed, and we have access to the tabernacle of God. Now, later on, as we read there in Exodus 33, which I will try to skip from verse 17, okay, maybe from verse 14, okay, just in summary, Moses asks to see God, you know, and he says that, God, you have been telling me, lead these people. Now, if I've found favor in your eyes and consider me your people, let your presence go with us, you know. And then he said, okay, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he says that, Lord, now you have been showing me, if I have found favor in your sight, verse 18 he says, and he said, please show me your glory. Now I'll ask the question, when Moses was going to speak with God face to face, that tells us that he had not seen God at that point. That tells me that when the Bible says that, you know, that he speaks with a prophet, he speaks with God face to face and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the similitude or the form of God. It tells me that there are two different things. That means that when he was speaking with God face to face, it was more of like the voice of God will be right before him, or the presence of God will be right before him, or the person that he is speaking to in the cloud will be right before him, and the voice of God will interact with him as a friend. As he will speak, God will speak back. As he will speak, God will speak back. But you see, up until this point, he has not yet seen the form of God. He has not yet seen the glory of God. Then he said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand. While I pass by, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, I want to just bring us to this understanding that Moses, yes, will speak to God face to face, but he was interacting with the voice of God that was hidden in the cloud. And he now desires to see the form of God. But God is telling him that, you see what? No man can see my face and live, but I will show you my back. And God now shows him, he says that I will put you in a cleft in the rock. Now, you see, for Moses to be able to see God, God has to put him in the rock. Who is the rock? The rock is Christ. Remember when the Bible says that he was the rock that gave them the water? That rock was Christ. So he has to be hidden in the rock. For him to be able to see God, God has to hide him in Christ. And remember, that's why when he struck the rock, and then when he struck it the same time, he made a mistake, because it meant that his son had to be crucified twice or had to be beaten twice, which was not right. But you see, God says that he will show him his back. Now, we must not settle there thinking that this is only the place where God wants us to see him. And we must not be lost in the old covenant where no one could see the face of God. Why? Because in the new covenant, God says that we behold his glory. We have all beheld his glory. In that God is, he has revealed himself. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, who is the exact representation of his being, the brightness of his glory. So now when we come to encounter Christ, we are now able to see not only the face of God, but we are also able to see the glory and the form of God. Why? Because we see Jesus Christ. He is the form and the exact imprint, the exact image, the exact glory, the exact form of God. And that is why Jesus tells Philip, haven't you not seen me? That even you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Why? Because God is spirit. And if we are to see him, we must also see him in spirit. But for us to see him, we have to see him in the body that he prepared. What is the body that he prepared? The body that he prepared is Jesus Christ. So we have to see him in God. And that is why it was so difficult for Moses in the old covenant to see the form of God or to see the face of God. But God just shows him his back. Now, if we go to the next chapter, 34, and then we can see from verse 28, God actually asked Moses to come up the mountain, you know, to come up the mountain and see him. And this is the instruction that God gave him. So verse 28, the Bible says, so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he neither ate bread nor drank wine. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands, and he came down from the mountain, and Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, they behold the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation said to him, Moses talked with them, and afterwards all the children of Israel came near. He gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai, verse 33. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Which is very important for us to mark the difference between the old and the new covenant, is that, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he will take the veil off until he came out. And when he will come out to speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had been commanded, and when the children of Israel saw that the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses will put the veil on his face again, until he went to speak with him. Can you imagine? Picture this. Moses has gone to see God. God told him, come up the mountain, I'm going to give you the covenant. He goes up the mountain, he stays 40 days, and when he comes out from beholding the face of God, remember, it's like when the Bible says that when we look at we behold the glory of God, we reflect the glory of God. Think of God as light. The Bible says God is light. So one of the forms of God that God manifests himself is God is light. And the Bible also says that he has clothed himself in unapproachable light. So when we now come to the presence of God, when we come to see him, what we see is that we reflect that light. We reflect that glory. It's like the sun and the moon. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. So the moon's light is based on its alignment to the sun. Now, likewise for us, based on our alignment to God and based on how much we behold of God, then this is in the same measure that God shines his light on our face, which is the light of the gospel. Now, furthermore, you will see that when Moses even goes to die, God has to tell him that the Bible says that Moses' eye were not dim, neither did he age. He did not grow old, and his strength did not diminish. And God has to command him to die. He tells him, go up the mountain and die. Look at how when you carry the glory of God. But you see, the picture is this. Moses has to speak to God. And when he goes to speak to God, he removes his veil. Why? Because he's beholding the form of God. He's shining the glory of God. He's reflecting the glory of God. But you see, when he comes to the Israelites, they're scared of that glory. And he has to cover his face with a veil. And he's communicating to them through a veil. You can imagine someone is speaking to you and he has covered himself like a bridegroom. You know, like the way a bride is. Will cover her face with a veil. Now, Moses has covered his face with a veil and he speaks to the people. And now, that is why the old covenant is veiled to people. That is why anytime you preach from the old covenant, anytime you emphasize the old covenant, you put a veil on the people and the people's eyes are clouded from seeing what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the veil is only taken away in Christ. Furthermore, we say God has to send him to die. You can think of how much glory this man, his body has contained. That even when he dies, the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, that even the devil wanted to contend for the body of Moses. Can you imagine someone who has died? That even the devil wants to take that body, and God has to send the angel Michael, and the angel Michael rebukes the devil, and he says, the Lord rebukes you in contending for the body of Moses. Now, think of how this man in the old covenant could reflect this glory of God to the point that even his dead body, the devil has to fight for it. But then now, I want us to see something that is more superior. And this is what we'll conclude with. When we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. And this is very crucial because I don't want us to stay in that fear or in that place where we'd rest in the old covenant and not see what Christ has done for us in the new covenant, which is a greater and a much more superior covenant that God gave Moses. That means we must reflect more than what God gave Moses. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then, there are two parts, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 7, the Bible says, but if the ministry of death, what is it speaking? The old covenant, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, and for sure it had glory. We have seen the glory that was on Moses. His face is shining. He does not grow old. His eyes do not grow dim. His strength is still there. Even the devil has to fight for his body. But the Bible says it was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. That means it will fade away. Verse 8 says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? That means the ministry that we have of the new covenant is more glorious. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. That means we have a greater, glorious, more new covenant. Verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. That means our ministry is much more glorious. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. God is saying that now when we speak to people, when we are telling people about the glory of God, we are not putting a veil over our face. Why? No, because we are speaking with boldness. Why? Because when the veil is put on people, their minds are blinded. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, and from until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Only in Christ is the veil taken away. So when we read, like, for example, generational curses, yes, it was there in the Old Covenant. But in the New Covenant, we receive the blessing of Abraham. So when you tell someone that you are still under generational curses, you're still putting a veil over them. But then when you bring them to Christ, you tell them and you show them that you have received the blessing of Abraham. And that veil that was covering in the Old Covenant is taken away, and we see the glory of Christ. Now in the Old Covenant, it was only Moses that could go to the tabernacle of meeting. But now in Christ, we ourselves, also the veil is taken away, and we see the glory of God. And this is what I want us to see, verse 15. And it says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, can you see that? When one turns to the Lord, when we turn to Christ, the veil is taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is spirit, is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have the freedom. We are not like the Israelites who could only see Moses, who could only worship at the tent of their door. But we ourselves, we have the liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Bible says we can boldly come to the throne of grace and receive mercy. We have nothing to fear. Why? Because our sin is taken away. We are no longer hidden under the cleft. You know, we are not going just to see the back of God. No, but we are now in that rock. Just like Moses was kept in the rock, there is liberty. Verse 18 says, but we all, and can you see that those three words, but we all, not one person, not just Moses, not just the priest, but we all with unveiled faces. That means we are seeing God face to face. We are seeing God without a veil covering our eyes. Behold as in a mirror. And this word here, we need to see, it is not seeing more of as a reflection. It is fixing our gaze on Christ. The expression there means we are fixing our gaze on Christ. We are looking at God. Behold as in a mirror, the glory of God. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, as we behold, as we fix our eyes on God, as we are looking at the Word of God, as we are looking at God, as we are beholding God. And how do we behold God? As we meditate on God, as we meditate on the Word, as we picture Him in our spirits, in our mind, as we are hearing His voice, the Bible says, with open faces, without a veil, we all, the ministry of the new covenant for us to speak and to see God face to face is not just for Moses, but it is for all of us. And the Bible says, as we see his face, we are transformed into the very image. The word there is metamorphosis. We are being changed into another form, into greater glory. We are being transformed. Now think of the glory that was on Moses, that even the devil has to fight for his body. Now for us, the Bible says that we are transformed into the same image of God, into the same image. And so that we link it up with chapter 4, because remember, the Bible was not written in chapters originally. That's why there's a therefore in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we, remember, we, it is not Paul speaking about himself, we have this ministry, as we, not him alone, have received mercy, therefore we do not lose heart.
And then verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where I'm stopping. The light of the gospel. The light of the gospel is what brings us to see the face of God, the glory of God, and which is in the face of Jesus Christ. And remember in Genesis when the Bible says, when God said, let there be light, when God commanded light, and the Bible says this light that God shone was the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, anyone who has not come to this light, the Bible says they are blinded, they are in a veil, and they are hidden from the face of God. But anyone who comes to Christ, the veil is taken away, and we can see and behold God. So we are not locked in the place where Moses was and where the Israelites was, where he was told, you cannot see the face of God and live. No, we are brought to the image. We are brought to that face of God. We are brought to Christ, and that veil is taken away, and we can behold his glory. And the Bible says we are transformed into the same image. That means no longer, we are not just reflecting, we are becoming more and more like him. We are changing each and every day. I tell you, when the veil is taken away, when we behold Christ, you're every day becoming more and more like Christ. And the end result is that you now, you become and you show Christ to the world. You become a Christ bearer. You become a Christ on the earth. You become a Messiah that people can see. The Bible says, and Messiah shall come out of Zion. We are the representatives of Christ on the earth. People will see the form of God through us. Why? Because we are being transformed into the same image. I'll stop there. Sorry, I've gone over time. My brother, you're welcome.
Thanks, Samana. Nothing to add from my side.
Okay, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you speak to us in a language that we understand, that indeed we come to experience Christ. We come to experience you. We come to be transformed to the very same image of you. When we behold your face, when we behold your face in Christ, when we look, when we fix our gaze, when we behold, when we fix our gaze face to face, when we are ever before you, when we are in worship, when we are in fasting, when we are in looking at the word, when we are in meditation, when we are in prayer, the Lord, in the same image, we are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory until all that we reflect, just as Moses reflected the glory of God, for us, even in a greater way, we reflect your glory. We not only reflect, but we are transformed into the same image, into the image and likeness of God. The original plan that you had when you say, let us make men in our image and likeness. We are transformed into that image and likeness. And Father, it was for your good pleasure that you have sons, and that light that shines in darkness may it shine in our lives. And Father, with that, we speak life. We speak healing. We speak forgiveness. We speak answers. We speak breakthrough. We speak victory. We speak newness of life. We speak liberty. We break every bondages of darkness that have held your people, O God. And we see answers in the name of Jesus Christ. The veil is taken away. Your children are free. They experience the newness of life and the liberty of being one with your spirit and of being seeing you face to face. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be healed, be restored. Shalom, and the Lord be with you. Amen. God bless.